this has been a long time coming. This is kind of like redemption day for you, so to speak. You know, like, did you ever think that this wasn't going to happen?
No, actually, I thought we would get it done. It was just a lot of obstacles on the way, right?
Mm-hmm,
and it
yeah.
was just persistence and determination. But, I mean, I was determined to get this fucker done. And and we got it done. What I didn't know was how good the game was going to be. Right. So I knew I was going to get it done. We managed the game. So we kept our ambition in check because I didn't want to be one of those guys that, you know, doesn't get across the finish line with the product.
Absolutely.
So we kept the scope to something that we could actually deliver. And we wanted to deliver it at a high quality. And we always knew, like, our plan was going to continue. It wasn't going to end with this one game, hopefully, fingers crossed, and that we could build on it. So I knew I was going to get it done, but I didn't think the game was going to be as fun
mm-hmm.
as it turned out. And we got it playing fun pretty early in our development. And, you know, it was all about the fun and the gameplay, and that turned out as well as it did with such a small team and, you know, scrounging pennies. Yeah, I'm really happy. I'm very proud of it. And yeah, hats off to the dev team because those guys just kicked ass.
All right. So Tim, how do you get involved in this? How does this all happen?
I'd say it's a lot of luck, good timing, Michael is here in Chicago, and there's a pretty small, close group of people from the Midway and Valley, Williams, and the fraternity of game makers here in Chicago, the Ritchie Brothers, Pinball, the Stern Pinball. It's like Chicago is the gaming hub, and it had been years since I had done a new title. You know, I'd done remakes of Jam and Blitz, but when Michael called me, realized he was right here in Chicago, and I'm not a gamer and unfamiliar with Mutant League Football from back in the day, and we talked about it. He told me about it. We met, and I took a look at it and what he was thinking about, and it was just a gift from the gaming gods for me to get a new title instead of just being an oldies act, to have a new album, a new producer, and really a genius, you know, the creator, as opposed to even when I did Jam and the other games, like Mark Turmel and I, we didn't really have any contact. I was just sound booth with John Hay and Dan Ford and other people. So to have the creator to tell me his vision, reveal a vision, and work with him writing and really is like getting a band together. Like here's, you know, it's kind of like the super group. You know, I was the voice from this and he was the creator of this, you know, title. And together, we're going to come together to make a new arcade title for a new generation that rocks, it's more fantastic than anything I could have imagined from when we started. And to watch him do this from his grassroots kind of garage punk rock band, you know, take no prisoners kind of thing, and with his team, the dedication. I've worked with, you know, the EA, the Giants and Dinosaurs, and to see this kind of love, passion, and just like sleepless nights and the work that has to go into it, and see this product delivered on the day it was to be delivered, because as he said, and you know that, you know, these, a lot of people just don't get across the finish line. There's one glitch or another.
Absolutely.
So he called me up and went out, and I was on board, of course, you know, right away, and here we are. So cheers, Michael.
Yeah, well, when we met, I'm like, so first thing you got to know is we don't have much money.
Yeah.
However, we can do something really cool. And how we've kind of, the chemistry has worked out really nice. When we go in the studio, I just let, like, Tim creatively just go, right? So, I mean, we know what events we need, and we do write stuff out, but when Tim gets going and he wants to riff, that's when the magic happens. And when he riffs, it's just, you know, if you've played the game, you'll hear some stuff and you'll just be like, what? Like, you know, where is that coming from? And it's coming from Mr. Kittrow here, and when he starts going, like, his creative genius just kicks into fourth gear, and you can't stop him. And then, like, the guys who do the recording, like Brian Schmidt, who's, you know, one of the old school, you know, sound designer, musical composers. We were lucky to get Brian, and Brian did the original score for Mutant League Football, and he did Crew Ball and a whole bunch of games. Brian has to sort this out, right? When so he's got my script, and then he's got the recording from the studio, and it's like, what the? So he has to put that all together, and he does a fantastic job at it. And it just kind of all came together, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you can imagine from like NFL Blitz, where we, you know, we had the NFL looking at us and making sure we didn't cross the line, which we certainly did as many times we could in the early days, but not the last version. So to have this, it was all the restrictions were off, and there was no parents in the room, mm-hmm. and it was just, you know, the guys hanging out, you know, and. The keg party was like, let's do this, let's do that, and we just kept pushing it and pushing it. So to be able to do a parody of the NFL, well, NFL to me hasn't had a great game, you know, for a long time, and one that's like the Blitz, like in the day, how it really changed the playing field, no sure. pun intended. Mm-hmm. But this one's changed the game because it's giving you that hard, fast paced, exciting entertainment in these doses of you know, adrenaline. With the violence and the humor to a level, you know, it's so watered down now with, you know, sim titles. You know, you go to sleep listening to these sportscasters go on and on about these generic things that, you know, this guy came out of college and a lot was expected of them because they can only speak in generic kind of things and filler. So to have this, you know, where like you can kill refs, you can bribe refs, you can bomb Shane in the shotgun formation, actually grabs a shotgun and blows the defender's head off. You know, that kind of stuff.
I love it.
Now, by the way, that kill of the day brought to you by the speedy drive-through funeral services. When you have to get a loved one or a friend in the ground in a hurry and don't want to spend a lot of money, and why would you? Put them in a bag. Why spend money on a box? Speedy drive-through. So, I mean, just anything. It could be anything. So I was thinking of commercial ideas during it. He had all these great things, like instead of ESPN, Evil SN. So it's this Futurama kind of Simpsons, you know, world where you can go to different places, Family Guy, and man, for a writer, for a performer, you know, to have it, that kind of support, Mad Magazine when I was a kid, that's what we're doing here. We're creating a world. It's not just a game. It's we're creating a world and characters, and man, it couldn't be more fun, more exciting.
And I'm just going to add, so like, I love Madden. It's one of my favorite games, and Madden is an outstanding, great football game. And they do that better than anybody. But, you know, we're not Madden, and we're never trying to be Madden. Madden is Madden. What we tried to deliver was a game that's just easy to set up and play, that you can play with your friends, that's just complete lunacy for 15 minutes, right? And it's a game that's fun to play if you're having some drinks, you're smoking a little bit, and it's a funny game with your friends on the living room couch, and we just wanted to just be able to take you away for 15-20 minutes and just make you laugh, and that's kind of what Mutant Football League does. Now, within its own right, it's a damn good football game, and there's a lot of tactics, and you know, people play it pretty seriously, but I mean, the intent is just to kind of poke fun at everything we hold sacred, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it does a reasonably good job of that.
All right, so Tim, I have to ask you, you know, for somebody like me, I'm in, you know, my early 30s, Boom Shakalaka, and He's on Fire, or kind of like, I have to say him like at least once a day. So in this game, what's that catchphrase?
We've talked about that. We realized that, you know, it's hard to consciously go in finding the catchphrase. I think this one is more about these one-liner zingers, which, and funny you should ask me that. I was just asking Michael out in the garage, because we are a garage band, having a smoke.
That's great.
I said, what are some of the lines that are standing out for you? Because the fun is, like, when I started to do Blitz, I started to do all the writing. When I did Slugfest, did all the writing. The last version of NBA Jam. So it was more about setups and jokes as quickly as you can get in and get out, as opposed to the one-liner. So I don't think that this one has, like, you know, the superlative one-liner, although there may be something there that Michael recognizes. But what I was a big fan of Mystery Science Theater also, mm-hmm. and how those references, some went over your head, some went this way, that way. But it was about those characters. And we have three different characters in this. It's Grim Blitzrow, it's Brickhead Mulligan, former player, and the little mutant guy that lives on his shoulder, Bricks Jr. So just to visualize that and the little dialogue that goes between those two guys and the things that we let slip and those fake commercials and, you know, pushing the envelope, I'm going to be interested to see what the fans say. I forget everything that I do once I've done it and leave there. And a lot of it, as Michael says, you know, I riff and improvise. So I have to go back now and watch the game to see what's actually in there. And then I get surprised. So it's more about me being interested in what, you know, you guys are going to find is that, like, the Blitz line was like, he just ripped his head off. That was just his helmet. Darn it. Yeah, you hate to see that. Ron, could you back that up? Let's see that again. You know, totally unnecessary, but a whole lot of fun to watch. But that's where it started to get more about dialogue as opposed to superlative. So I'm waiting to see what the MFL fans have to say about their favorite lines.
Okay. Michael, I have to ask you, I'm a Switch owner. I love the system. I think it's great, but there's a big hole in the system in the fact that there's no football game. Are there any thoughts on bringing this to the Switch? Because, I mean, it would be absolutely perfect for the Switch.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people have asked for the Switch version. I think we have to see how this game does, right? Mm-hmm. So we need the game to do well, and if it does well, then we'd like to put it on more platforms, obviously, and we would also like to continue working on this, making it better, adding more features for you know, our community. And we'd also like to do some other types of mutant sports games as well. So, you know, we made this one on our own dime. And all that money now is only change left in our pockets.
Yeah.
So we don't have the funding to, like, make another game. So we bet on this game. And hopefully this game will do well, and then we can continue.
Okay. Another question in terms of, like, what you just said, and considering what happened with the original Mutant League Football, are you kind of weary of, like, taking this to a publisher? Because if, you know, God forbid, you know, something happens again, then you kind of have to, like, start from scratch with a new license and create, like, you know...
Well, there's different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's taking it to a publisher and partnering up with a publisher...
Mm-hmm.
to release the game but retaining IP rights.
Yeah.
And then there's going to a publisher and releasing your IP rights to the publisher, and then they own the IP. So we're not doing that again.
Yeah.
But we would, you know, we're open to working with other publishers. And, I mean, we announced that we were working with Nighthawk Interactive,
mm-hmm.
and we are going to be doing a retail version in the summer.
I mean, how does that feel to think, like, this summer you're going to walk into a video game store and your game's going to be there? It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, it feels great, and we will have, we're working on a bunch of content for that right now, and it's going to be really cool, and we're going to shore up a lot of features on the online side, because, mm-hmm. You know, this product has always been kind of a labor of love, and the community has been very much involved with the direction and design of this game, and they continue to be. So, like, the most requested features from our community is what we work on. So there's our community right now wants, multiple seasons. Like, we can't get a full-on franchise mode, but we are building a dynasty mode, and we're going to release a free update for everybody in March. And what that allows you to do is you start out with a really crappy team that you can pick. It's like an overall 40 rated team, but as you play, your players gain experience.
Smart.
And you can customize your playbook. Of course, when you start, everybody's a rookie, so your quarterback's not that smart. Mm-hmm. But as he goes from rookie to pro, like, the playbook starts expanding, and it gets bigger. So by the time he's an all-star, it's a pretty big playbook. Mm-hmm. And then you can go, I want this dirty trick or that dirty trick. You know, you can also win dirty tricks from the teams you beat. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to make your team so good that it becomes a dynasty.
Nice. Reminds me a little bit of, like, NBA Street and the EA Ultimate Team minus all those nasty microtransactions.
And then on the online side, we want to allow people to structure their own tournaments.
Nice.
So you'll have brackets and you can have people play, and then you guys can set up their own tournaments. Wow. Like 8 versus 8, right? And then it just breaks down to the Mayhem Bowl. And so we're building what we have, and that was always the plan. And obviously we'll keep adding teams. You know, we couldn't get every team in the game, so like people want, you know, where's this team or where's that team. You know, over time they're coming. And the game's very young right now. It's our first football game. We built it with 7 guys. It's pretty rock solid. And now we have a wonderful foundation to build on over time. And that was kind of always the plan. And we're going to go back in the recording studio with Tim, and we're going to add more VO. And it's just not something that we could do on our first project by ourselves. But, you know, we reinvest money in the game from what it makes, and we make it better and better and better. And that's really the only way I know how to do it with what we started with. You know, it's mm-hmm. different if you work for a big publisher and you have a multi-million-dollar, you know, $20 million budget to play around with. Mm-hmm. We had not that. So, yeah, I'm really happy with it. And the whole thing I always say is, well, we can't beat these guys on features. We can't beat them with dollars. But we can match up creatively.
Sure.
Like, you know, just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean your creative idea is better than ours. Mm-hmm. So creativity is kind of an even play field.
Sure.
And that's where we decided to go to war on creativity. Can we be more outlandish? Can we make you laugh in this way or that way? And we felt like it was when we scope it that way, we can compete with the best of them, I think.
Okay. Tim, how did you feel the first time you saw the game actually, you know, being played? Because I know, you know, Mike's convincing, he's super passionate, he gave you the pitch, but how did you feel the first time you saw the game actually play?
Visually, the game is so stunning, and it's the most interesting game, looking game I've ever seen. You know, it draws you in. It's like if you love comic books and graphic art. You can do a freeze frame of any moment, a screenshot, the poster for Mutant Football League. I mean, all that great artwork. I get drawn in, and I can't believe that I'm actually part of it. It's, you know, it's my world of doing the voice is, you know, one thing, but when I see it married with those stadiums, those players, with the action, I couldn't imagine a better marriage of, like, his talent, my talent come together, and, you know, the great artwork, so... Yeah, that's really a dream come true.
All right, where do you think your performance...
It's a dream come true.
Where do you think your performance in this game stacks up with all the other games that you've been a part of over the years?
Well, it's closest to me to Slugfest, because it's the game where I had sidekick, Jimmy Shorts, and the room for humor in this. You know, there are just so many things I said to make fun of the NFL culture. To parody and commercials and corporations and conglomerates, you know, we're just having fun. I've been telling people it's kind of like someone gave me a Family Guy or Futurama or Simpsons kind of thing. Like, here's the world. Now you give voice and character to it. And so this is right up there with, you know, the most fun I've ever had in creating a game and recording.
Excellent. Is there anything else that you guys want to add on? Or?
Well, yeah. Go out and buy the game. Yeah. It's $19.99 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. If you're a PC player, we're also on Steam and Humble Bundle.
You know you want it. Now go buy it. Get off the couch. You got to check out our trailer. It's on the Mutant Football League YouTube channel and GameSpot and everywhere else. But they did a great job of animating my character, Grim Blitzrow. Here, greatest announcer of all time to tell you about Mutant Football League. And when we were talking about it toward the end, said, you know, I did do that line, like, now get up off the couch and go buy it. You know, you're an idiot if you don't, something like that. I said, people who complained about the price, you know, prices with these games, back in the day, man, how many quarters did you spend on Blitz or Jam or anything else or Golden Tee? It would be $20, $30 maybe in a weekend or a long day or hell, maybe after lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, so at $20, it's a bargain. And we have to convince that new generation that never pumped all their quarters in that this is one of the steals of a century. I mean, the tons of fun and years of fun you're going to have. And what I want to say, too, is it's really cool. It's like this resistance. You know, back when I started, there wasn't internet and podcasts and Skype and everything going on. The game showed up at the arcade, and the guys would go out and watch how the quarter box filled up. And that's how you gauge it. Then the word of mouth spread, the sound in the arcade. But now it's you guys. You know, it's you guys. It's the underground. It's the resistance saying, hey, to all those big companies out there, here's his digital dreams, you know, doing this thing, grassroots, listening to their fan base, a hardcore fan base. And now it's about all you guys to spread the word and fill up your man caves with posters and Mutant Football League characters and trading cards and getting these fun parties together, weekend parties. I want it to be like Mutant Football League parties, you know, like huge dorm parties and Super Bowl parties every weekend and people doing tournaments, finding out how much fun it could be again together to game on the couch and laugh and have a beer. So here's some Mutant Football League being the greatest game ever made. Boom shakalaka.